Hi today. Did you know that evangelicals have long prided themselves on a commitment to biblical Christianity, to absolute truth convictions that they often point out mainline Protestant denominations abandoned years ago? Yet a Pew Research poll found a slight majority of those claiming the label evangelical believe that many religions lead to eternal life. This comes from Pro Ministries, July 19th, 2008. You know, there are two primary doctrines that cannot be bent, ignored, or twisted without absolutely destroying your eternal hope, and those are repentance and grace. Christ warned repeatedly not to be deceived and spelled out clearly how to be protected from such satanic lies and confusion. Today, both these truths are buried under the lies of false preachers and teachers, and the church is full of corrupted members claiming religious freedom to live their lives without the burden of God's rules. We're really in troubling times because of this. The church is really in conflict. Christ's first series of messages were completely based on repentance. By repeatedly preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," that's out of Matthew 4:17, the Lord gathered followers. Well, the full force of his call was to everyone to change your mind for the better. Heartily amend your ways with abhorrence of your past sins. After gathering disciples, he shifted to explaining the full weight of what this life of repentance really meant. We call it the Sermon on the Mount, and Christ, he finished his truth with extreme warnings of great deception about this life of true repentance. He states this in Matthew. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and spacious and broad is the way that leads away to destruction, and many are those who are entering through it. But the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure, and the way is straitened and compressed that leads away to life. And few are those who find it." That's out of the Amplified Bible. The way will only have a few followers, but most will take the wide and broad religious road without repentance. So who is Jesus speaking of here? Does he mean the world of unbelievers versus the Christians? Or does he also, or more clearly, mean a whole bunch of churchgoers versus true believers? Active hypocrites versus born-again saints? Listen carefully to his next statement. "Beware of false prophets," in other words, preachers, "who come to you dressed as sheep, but inside they are devouring wolves. You will fully recognize them by their fruits." Matthew 7:15-16. The non-religious are not listening to preachers. This is a warning. This is a warning to you interested in following Jesus Christ. Sheep represent real Christians. So these are warnings about fake Christians with the appearance of sainthood, but who are either knowingly or even unknowingly the Christians' true enemies. And the connection between the gates mentioned is directly related to the preachers, it says. The false preachers make up a mythological way to heaven, popular and easy without repentance. But the true path is blocked by their false doctrine and their teaching. They are the ones causing all the issues of fewer and fewer people ending up finding the way according to Jesus. Yes, they are the ones sending people to hell. The way of Christ is a radical call to repent and live so differently that, as Jesus said, "You shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Listen, don't get excited. This does not mean you have never sinned, but you turn from disobedience and your repentance in the present is so complete that your new life is gushing with righteousness, which means obeying God's commands. More than the average ideas of being religious is demanded by Jesus as he asks, "What do you do more than others?" Matthew 5:47. He would never ask someone to pray a little prayer like, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart." No, instead Jesus preached, "If anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself." That means disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself in his own interest. "And take up his cross and follow me." That means cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, even in dying. That's Matthew 16:24 from the Amplified Bible. His narrow way differs from many sermons preached today. Are you his slave? Well, listen, only a slave has a Lord. Do you call Jesus Lord? Well, listen to Scripture. To make sure you understand this is the issue, the Bible says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not preached or prophesied in your name and driven out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name?' And then I will say to them openly," which means publicly, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who act wickedly by disregarding my commands." Matthew 7:21 through 23 in the Amplified. Lots and lots of deceived people are going to be stunned at the day of judgment. Believing that you are going to heaven does not mean you get there. There are confused people in the hospital who think they are George Washington or a host of other famous people, but it doesn't make it true. And get this, sincerely believing you're a Christian and being able to heal sick people in Jesus' name proves nothing. Not my words, but Christ. Speaking in tongues or performing miraculous signs does not guarantee you are a believer, let alone spirit-filled. Cast out demons? Bible says, so what? You'll still go to hell. Listen, the one and only sign that you are reborn by God's Spirit is to obey God's law. Your Creator said, "But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law." Listen, this is why this is so clear. Hypocrites can't obey. They will scream for love, understanding, and a broader mindset. This idea of obedience is too narrow-minded for them. Surrendering to the complete control of the Lord Jesus is absolutely out of the question. Yes, they want to go to heaven. They think religious freedom is from the restricting life of the do's and don'ts of God's Word and is what God saved them from. That's not what the Bible says. Listen, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death. Or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Romans 6:16. Notice the change repentance brings to the saint. The Bible says that having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more unlawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. That's Romans 6:18 through 20. You are a slave to God or sin. And the hypocrite always sides with freedom from God's law, but the saint wants freedom from sin. Besides, why would God help us rebel and disobey his commandments? That doesn't even make sense. great numbers believe they are Christians. In great numbers, the Bible says, many enter through the wide gate of a phony Christianity even today. If they think they are Christians, they go to churches, obviously. And some become preachers and preach and evangelize their leaders and form movements and denominations. Since they do such exciting things, they get noticed and gain big followings. They go on television and radio, publish books, and gather in big conventions. Christ says he will disappoint great numbers of people that he never knew, even though they really thought they knew him. They believed in him, thought they were following him, and were actively serving him. But their sincere faith never resulted in a relationship with God, even though they experienced miracles, fought satanic forces, and gained victories for Jesus. Could unrepentant people fill the churches and serve Jesus like this? The Apostle Paul knew it. He said it would happen. Listen to what he said. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there'll be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They'll be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They'll act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. That's 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 from the New Living Testament. It does not say that they'll be liars, thieves, or murderers, but self-centered rule breakers who do what they like. And they will be religious churchgoers, but have wrong fruit who won't repent and become self-denying disciples. The Bible says, for although they hold a form of piety, which is true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. In other words, their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. See, true grace is the power they reject. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's finish this topic. The scripture says, you'll know them by their fruits. They're driven to church to get solutions for their out-of-control lives. They come to hear preacher after preacher that will help them feel assured they're going to heaven in spite of their life. They want assurance for better marriages, and they want to be comforted and get the good life. As they focus on what pleases them, they need God to increase their happiness, and that's why the Bible says they will appear to have a godly life. It will be difficult to discern who is really a Christian, and if anyone questions them, there's going to be an outcry of, you don't love, stop judging, you're arrogant and evil to speak like that. Listen, but as usual, they speak against the Bible they claim to follow because it orders us to do the very opposite. The Bible says it isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. God will judge those on the outside, but as the scripture says, you must remove the evil person from among you. 1 Corinthians 5, 12 through 13, New Living Translation. They'll be so excited about their faith, they will draw lots of people into their denominations and churches and groups. The Bible says some of these men go into houses and they mislead weak-minded women who are burdened with sins, or they're overlaid with sins and led by all kinds of desires. Lust. These women are always studying the Bible, but are never able to recognize the truth. As Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, So these men oppose the truth. Their minds are corrupt, and the faith they teach is counterfeit. 2 Timothy 3:6 through 8. These two magicians copied Moses' miracles to deceive everyone and prove their religion was equal to his. And this Christian deception will be known for miraculous power to prove it is authentic, even though it is the counterfeit way of Jesus. Again, I quote, "But evil people and phony preachers will go from bad to worse as they mislead people and are themselves misled." 2 Timothy 3:13, God's Word Translation. Paul warns that the time prior to Christ's real return to earth will be known because the church will be full of great spiritual deception. The Bible says, "Let no one deceive or beguile you in any way, for that day will not come except the apostasy comes first, unless the predicted great falling away of those who have professed to be Christians has come." That's 2 Thessalonians 2:3 from the Amplified Bible. The dream of many people in the church is to drop their doctrines and unite into one happy family. But this will only lead to the finale of Satan when the Bible warns the man of lawlessness or sin is revealed, who is the son of doom, of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself so proudly and insolently against and over all that is called God or that is worshipped, even to his actually taking his seat in the temple of God and proclaiming that he himself is God. It says, "Do you not recollect that I told you this before?" 2 Thessalonians 2:3 through 5. The warning from God have been made from the beginning of the church, but today fall on deaf ears. That's why the Bible says these are difficult times. The second generation of Christians understood this. They actually produced a study book that was widely used in their churches. Here's a quote from that book. "For in the last days, false prophets," in other words, preachers, "and seducers shall be multiplied, and the sheep shall be turned into wolves, and love shall be turned into hate. And because iniquity," which means, again, lawlessness, disobedience, "abounds, they shall hate each other, and persecute each other, and deliver each other up. And then shall the deceiver of the world appear as the Son of God, and shall do signs and wonders, and the earth shall be delivered into his hands. And he shall do unlawful things, such as have never happened since the beginning of the world." I want you to understand how clearly this is warned, but it's so hard to comprehend in our day. In our day of tolerance, we don't want to face it. But let me make it clear. It's easy as 1, 2, 3. Flood the church with false preachers, and then pour out fake Holy Spirit power to deceive. Then the devil floods the church with a false gospel without repentance, and slowly fill the churches with wolves disguised as sheep. Then fill hell full of church people. Satan deceived Adam and Eve, and he's never stopped throughout history lying to men and trying to deceive even the church. Don't think this is true, or maybe you think it's some overblown idea of mine. The Bible says, Jesus said this, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Luke 18:8. God was worried that he wouldn't find people that believed in him and truth anymore. "But I fear lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. For those who come preach another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or if a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." 2 Corinthians 11:3 and 4. Paul was worried about people receiving false truth. "A time will come when people will not listen to accurate teachings," Paul warned. "Instead, They'll follow their own desires and surround themselves with teachers who tell them what they want to hear. People will refuse to listen to the truth and turn to myths. That's what 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4 warns. It's simple. Sin left all of us destroyed by our evil. The Jews wanted to please God, but always failed. God sent prophets and gave promises of a future day when things would change. He said these things, and I will give them a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within them, and I will take away that stony, unnatural, hardened heart out of their flesh. And I'll give them a heart of flesh, which means a sensitive and responsive heart to the touch of their God. That's a warning of Ezekiel 11:19. So what is this? What does this mean? What am I trying to say? The Bible says, cast away from you all your transgressions by which you have transgressed against me, and make you a new mind and heart and new spirit. Ezekiel 18:31. It simply means repent. That is the message that Jesus gave and has warned from the beginning. The true and miraculous change that God promised Christians was clear. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take away that stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh of softness. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall heed my ordinances and do them. Ezekiel 36:26 through 27. It's simple. Jesus, his salvation radically changes people, and the fruit of their lives is plain. Not like the phony believers without repentance. By their fruit you will know them, Jesus said. The fakes practice lawlessness, disobedience. And the Bible says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Matthew 7:24 and 25. It comes down to do and don't after all. What a surprise. When you're born again, you receive the power to obey God. Without him, you cannot obey God. The fruit always proves everything. For more answers, go straight to the book, the Bible. Thank you for listening to Straight Talk for Narrow Road Followers of Jesus. I hope you...